Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up Monday on our program, a Europe round robin. Why is Ireland falling to deficit fever while the French protest raising their retirement to even age 62? And more money news from the Eurozone that matters to us. Check out Monday's program. And don't forget our latest group mixtape project done in collaboration with the folks at 8-Tracks. Just in time for Thanksgiving, we're gathering your favorite cooking songs, the music you want to listen to when you're gathering with family or chopping away in the kitchen, specifically chopping away in the kitchen. We've already got about 20 songs on the mix, from Arlo Guthrie, who wrote a famous Thanksgiving Day song, to Young MC. Submit your songs or just listen to the mix at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll be collecting your suggestions all week between now and Thanksgiving Day and playing some then. Now, Facebook is rolling out its very own email service, one that the company says is sort of beyond most other email accounts. It'll compile all your messaging into one inbox, regular emails, text messages, and instant chats. And members will get an @Facebook account, and the social networking site is hoping that everyone will eventually leave behind their old email addresses and embrace the supercharged Facebook total messaging service. But not everybody is ready for such a drastic step in their online life. In fact, there are some people who are firmly set in their email ways, so much so that they're still using those original @AOL accounts. Our next guest is Alexandra Petrie. She's a Washington Post columnist and Compost blogger. She recently wrote about email not only as a means of communication, but an insight into what kind of person you are. Alexandra, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So what stands out and tells you about the person behind the address?
Well, one of the things that sort of emerges with email is that picking an email address is the equivalent these days of getting a tattoo, so having an unintentionally bad one is sort of this, you carry it around for a while and it becomes sort of a stigma. But increasingly, like Gmail tells you, well, that person's probably reliable and tech savvy, and AOL, that's usually a grandfather, and something like Mindspring, that's probably a homeless person squatting in a box somewhere. So these tend to be guidelines you can apply fairly accurately. And I don't really know what Yahoo email addresses mean, but I feel like you shouldn't trust those people. Being a suspect.
Well, that's a challenge to all of you with Yahoo email addresses from Alexandra Petrie. But listeners, seriously, we want to hear from you on this. What do you think your email address says about you? Are you still hanging on to your @AOL or @Yahoo account? Are you still using NewYorkGal10013@Hotmail.com or maybe YankeesFan99@CompuServe.com? Why haven't you made the transition and created a John.Smith@Gmail type account like so many others have? Give us a call and defend your old school email address and what it represents. Or on the other hand, are you on the cutting edge of email services? Were you the first of your friends to switch to Gmail and now you're totally on board for an @Facebook account? Why? What do you think your email address says about you? 212-433-WNYC for both email address loyalists and email service trendsetters. Call us up, 212-433-9692. It's not just the service provider you use, it's the name you choose too, right? Like,
absolutely.
If I were using Brian Loves Public Radio at whatever.
that would be indicative, I think. My favorite, though, are the ones that are oddly specific yet end in a number, because you have the sense that this person's sense of self was completely disrupted when they tried to sign up for the email, you know? If you were Brian Loves Public Radio and you sat down and you typed this in and it said it was taken, and then you had to type it in Brian Loves Public Radio 1,
right.
2, 3, and suddenly
87.
You realize, yeah, 86 other people had already had this thought, you know? You have to go rethink a lot of your fundamental considerations.
Do people still do that? It was, you know, the goofy email name, a trend that's time has passed, or do people do it in their professional lives or their personal lives but not the other?
Well, it's funny. I think a lot of people migrate as they age, because when you're a kid, you think it'll be really funny if you have, like, if you express your love of like dogs or the Civil War in your email address, and then you keep getting erroneous emails that like think that you're Robert E. Lee and want to invite you to a gala, or that, you know, want to sell you dog collars and other things. And so as you age, you think, well, I better go grab my name before somebody else runs off with it. Since that's another problem, is the Google doppelganger, the person who has your same name and starts getting arrested or doing other things, and you have to keep explaining this at job interviews. That, no, that was some other Alexandra Petri.
Right. So. Maybe the funny name is like, and I think the funny name is still in full swing, actually. But maybe as you age, you get tired of it. Like people who start out by putting funny messages on their outgoing voicemail, you know, like,
yes.
I'm not home right now. Just don't go to my house and steal my stuff, or, you know, whatever. And then eventually that gets really old when people have heard it 25 times.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of people calling in and a few special guests to say what they think their email address says about them, or to defend their old style email address persistence. And one of them is Doug Muzio, the well-known professor of political science at Baruch College, who's all over the media whenever there's an election or something, also host of City Talk on CUNY TV. And he has an AOL account to this day. Hi, Doug. Whoops, let me try that again. Hi, Doug. Now we have you.
Hi, and I think your guess is absolutely right. I'm a grandfather. And it is a tattoo, and it is a stigma, but it's at least distinctive. And, you know, as far as my integrated email and text on Facebook, I don't want any friends. I got too many friends now. So, I mean, I think you're really onto something.
Doug, I think I hear your computer in the background right now.
Yeah.
You've got mail.
That was you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I love the telephone hookup modem.
Yeah, the hookup modem is great. It sounds like they're killing an alien.
Nice.
Doug,
nice.
Do you think people judge you because of your AOL address?
You know what? Yes, they do. My students, literally 2 days ago in my graduate class, berated me for having an AOL account and told me, literally, I should get a Gmail account. And one of my students offered to show me how I could migrate, for example, my AOL directly into my Gmail. Yeah, people know this about me.
Doug, thank you very much for joining us and revealing. And we're going to go to Ben in Carroll Gardens calling in. Hi, Ben. What does your email address say about you?
Well, I just wanted to say that I love your guest comments. And I work in the nightlife industry with my partner, who happens to be my brother. We're both in our 30s, and we constantly come up and meet other people in the industry, and they all seem to have the old, just goofy AOL, Hotmail, Comcast, whatever addresses. And we do kind of judge them. I mean, we always, in a meeting, me and my brother will look at each other and kind of snicker and afterwards make some jokes about whoever just told us their Hotmail address or something. And conversely, if we meet somebody in the industry who has a Gmail address, inevitably they're 20-something, 30-something, and we think of them as kind of smart, hip, somebody we'd like to do business with. And it's a real judgment call that I think we do make.
Ben, thank you very much. Anne in the East Village, you got unfriended because of your email address?
My brother unfriended me on Facebook because I mocked him on using Earthlink. And I was singing the song, Old Man Richard. And he said I was cyber-stalking because I said something about him using this antique.
Oh, Anne, thank you. And we have Siva Vaidyanathan with us now. He's an associate professor of media studies and law at the University of Virginia, one of our go-to guests on new media topics, plus he is what I think we can call an email polygamist. Would that be right, Siva?
Well, that's actually an uncomfortable word, because I was going to tell you that I have a vestigial Yahoo.com email that I used to use exclusively for online dating services, right, so that my online dating correspondence wouldn't go to my regular email, and, you know, we wouldn't get into stalker situations or anything.
Somebody gave our guests the truth serum today. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I actually met my wife. I met my wife through such a system, and so I haven't looked at my Yahoo email. I don't even remember what the password is after all these years, so I'm sure it's filled with spam. So I've had this PO Box.com email for more than a decade, because long before Gmail, I recognized that I needed a separate email from my work email. I used to work for NYU, and I didn't want my freelance work or my personal work or my job hunting information to go through my NYU.edu right. email. Actually, come to think of it, NYU should be a .com, but that's another story. So for all those reasons, I've had this great service called PO Box.com, which from early days on, Lawrence Lessig, a law professor who then was at Stanford, told me that it's the one email service at the time that had really great spam filtering. And this was long before Gmail really mastered spam filtering. So
you've stayed with it.
I've been happy with it for years, yeah.
It
doesn't matter where I move. It's still a good go-to place. It's the email that you and your show and your producers write to when you're in a show. And no matter where I move, it works, and it works great.
All right, Siva, thanks a lot. Let's go to Tom in Manhattan, who may be frustrated by people like Siva Vaidyanathan with all these email addresses changing all the time. Tom, hi.
I said that one reason I had my AOL address longer than I probably intended to was because I had 1,000 business cards with it on it, and I don't like to throw things away that I've spent money for. But there are people who seem to change their email address every 6 months or so, especially some of my younger relatives, kids in school, you know, who they come up with names that are topical, and they want to change them when they enter into middle school or high school because they're too silly. So there is a contest sometimes to keep track of people who change them all the time. There's value in having a long-standing email address just in itself, because people can find you. They don't have to. You don't have to send out 5,000 emails every 6 months saying that you've changed your address.
Alexandra, that's a problem.
Yeah, well, the business card is sort of this other holdover that everyone thought, well, you know, with the internet, we're just going to swipe our phones on each other's, like, memory pad tattoo things. And instead, business cards exist, and as long as those go on, you're going to keep having some holdups with not moving from one to another and casting your old email aside.
And, Nicole, you say you have the best of both worlds in this respect. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, basically, I have all of my email forwarded to one place. I had the same AOL account with a cute name that I picked out since I was like 12. And so all of my middle school friends send me email to that address. When I got married, I made a new name with, you know, that name. And I never really wanted to change my name. So I also... I left one with my old name and one with my married name, and I'd use it based on, like, how people would be happy with whatever I picked. And basically all of this goes to Gmail, and since Gmail has all these amazing filters, you can just click on each email when you want to check them from one location. And your work, everything, nobody knows that you're...
Right. And great commercial there for Gmail's ability to aggregate from your different addresses. Nicole, so Alexandra, we're almost out of time. Are you going to try this Facebook thing?
Oh, I don't know. I think one of the joys of Gmail is that it allows you to delete messages that you no longer want to have. And Facebook, because it's all in this integrated thread, I don't think you'll be able to do that. And I love, like, you know, erroneously deleting emails or not erroneously. So I think I'll have to reserve judgment on that one for a bit longer.
All right. So there we are, folks. What your email address, old, new, or other, says about you, with Alexandra Petrie from Com Post, a Washington Post blog, and she's a Washington Post columnist. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Lisa Ellison, Jody Avergut, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Rachel Senator. Our itsafreecountry.org editor is Anna Sale, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you Monday. I'm Brian Lehrer.